Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, SEC Ensemble, for letting us sing along with you. That was fun. Okay, so I rise in love. I rise in love. So, again, happy Easter. And I think it's very fitting that we use a flower cross, the cross decorated with symbols of beauty, as our symbol for Easter, rather than the focus on the crucifixion, which is celebrated in most places. So we celebrate here the resurrection, the rising power within us to overcome every obstacle instead of the crucifixion, although we all are familiar with those moments when it feels like there's a crucifixion going on in our lives. So I want to tell you a little more of the history. Marvin told you some. The cross was not originally the symbol for Christianity. That was, as he mentioned, put into effect at the Nicene Council in 320 AD. And that was when it was decided that the cross would be the symbol for both Easter and for Christianity. So, we seldom use the cross in our New Thought churches because we would rather prefer to focus on the triumph of Jesus rather than the death and the suffering of Jesus. So in looking at Jesus' life, that's where we can find the victory. That's where we can find the victorious overcoming, victorious living. And that's what can save us. That saves us from living a life separated from God and from our good. So some of the ways that Jesus did this was by teaching us some things. Jesus taught us how to overcome all fear, even the fear of a most horrible and humiliating death, and how to stay in love throughout it all. So Easter is a time of celebrating the overcoming, the rising up in love through every situation that can come up in our lives. So let's take a look this morning at who Jesus was and what he did and what Christians all over the world are celebrating today. So we here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center and other New Thought churches, Unity churches, Centers for Spiritual Living around the world, believe that Jesus was the Son of God, most definitely. And we also believe that all of us are the Son of God too. He wasn't the divine exception. He was the example. He was certainly exceptional, but he wasn't the exception. He came to tell us about the life that lives within us, that life of overcoming, resurrecting power, and encourage us to live from that truth about ourselves. So to the Romans at that time, he was just kind of a pesky little troublemaker. He wasn't really considered a dangerous revolutionary, or they would have put him and the whole gang to death. Instead, they just considered him a troublemaker, so they just kind of wanted to get him out of the way. Jesus was also a very strong feminist. Jesus lived in an age where women didn't have any rights. They didn't have any rights, so he was a strong supporter of women. He healed women, he forgave them, he defended them. And it was Mary Magdalene who was the first witness to the resurrection. She was considered the apostle to the apostles. And Jesus told her to go and tell the others that he had risen. Jesus provided the role model by which women preach and heal today. He saw past the gender issues into the very heart of each person. Jesus is also the most powerful executive that ever lived. He was the most powerful executive in history because by his example and by his presence, he took ordinary people, he still takes ordinary people, and develops them to their full potential. And isn't that the definition of a successful executive? So why did he have to die? Since we don't believe that Jesus required a blood sacrifice to pay for our sins, because we know that God is a loving God, and that would never be required, why did it have to end that way? Well, here's an idea for you to consider. I'm sure most of us have thought about that as we've spiritually developed and grown and pondered spiritual ideas, but here's an idea that I would like for you to consider. Jesus had shown how to overcome every limitation, starting with lack. When the wine ran out at the wedding, he turned water into wine, so he showed there was no lack. He also healed people. He healed people of all kinds of disorders. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind, the lepers, the mentally ill, and he even raised Lazarus from the dead. He was purported to have taken a coin out of a fish's mouth. Now, that was really just an idiom. That was an idiom that meant he showed people how to obtain their supply from where it was. And in that area where they were living, it was through fishing. So he showed them that that was where their wealth was in their fishing. So that was an idiom that was used to denote that. So he even rose Lazarus from the dead. But that wasn't the same as overcoming death, because Lazarus, according to the story in the Bible, rose and he walked among people again. He ate, he slept, he carried on his life in a normal way. But the question remains, what actually happens after death, after we die and don't get raised like Lazarus? What actually happens? So Jesus came to show us how to live a fully victorious life. How, now, you might say that Jesus' life didn't look very successful from the outside, because that has certainly been argued. He tried to convince people to love one another, but how's that working for us? We're still working on that one, aren't we? And by and large, he wasn't a total success doing that. He also tried to take the more militant role of running the moneylenders out of the temple, and that didn't last for very long. He tried to change some of the Judaic laws. You know, there were lots and lots of Judaic laws, and he saw through them and saw that they weren't necessary to living a loving life, and he tried to change those, but he didn't have much success in that area. So in the eyes of the world, by the world's judgment, Jesus was not very successful. But from the spiritual perspective, Jesus was victorious. He was successful. He showed people how to love under the most trying circumstances. He demonstrated mastery over every human experience. And the final demonstration that he made was over physical death, which is the last human experience that each of us will have. And many people have a lot of questions or concerns about that last passage that we make. And Jesus came to show that it was not true that life lives on past the grave. And so he showed up through the resurrection to his followers. And I understand he appeared to about 500 people in the next little bit of time in different ways. So the only way that he could really do this was to die in a very dramatic way in front of a lot of people, so that there would be no question that that had happened. And so he knew what he was getting into. He wasn't a victim. Jesus was never a victim. He willingly agreed to do that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was coming. And many times in the past, he had just disappeared or avoided the mobs that were chasing him or whatever. But he knew that this was what he needed to do in order to prove that last overcoming, that death was not the final victor. So he chose to go through it, and he went through the experience to show that you can love in every circumstance, through everything, and that death is not the end. While he was dying, he forgave the Roman soldiers who executed him. He also told the thieves on the cross next to him that they would be with him. So he didn't say the final words, or right towards the end, he was purported to have said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, if you go back to the ancient Aramaic, that was a mistranslation. You know, it was translated from Aramaic into Greek, and then Hebrew, and later into English. So it went through several different translations. According to the ancient Aramaic, what the words really were, my God, this is my destiny. This is my destiny. So here we have the story of Jesus dying and then rising up out of death into a glorious resurrection. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, said, "Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Its inner meaning and spiritual significance is the awakening and raising of the spiritual consciousness of the Christ in a human who has been dead and buried in a tomb of materiality." So it seems like in our teaching that we don't talk too much about the crucifixion, but actually we talk about the crucifixion all the time. We talk about times when we have been buried in adversity, when we have been buried in sadness or ill health or problems, and when we are called upon to do something that we could no way accomplish by ourselves, and we have to rise up and do it. And so we're always talking about that. Whenever we break through barriers that have kept us back, whenever we break through anything and discover new powers within us, we're undergoing a crucifixion. We have to let go of our personal self, our ego involvement. That's what's crucified, is the ego. And let that Christ spirit within us rise up and be victorious within us. And that's the metaphysical meaning in the Easter story for each one of us. No matter what we're facing, we can rise up into a new experience because we have this same resurrecting power within us. A Course in Miracles says that the crucifixion is the last useless journey that the sonship would ever have to take. So we don't have to suffer any longer. That's not what was intended for us. God's will for us is that we be redeemed through joy and not through pain. So if we willingly lay down our ego attachment and surrender to that higher power, it can be a very fluid process for us. It's our holding on to the way we think it should be, our expectations, our involvement, our ego involvement that causes the pain. So as we just joyously let go and surrender to the highest good in every situation, accepting what is what it is, and letting it flow, then we easily move into the resurrecting experience. We do this every time we shake off a limitation of any kind. We rise up again. The Easter story shows us that we can rise above any adversity, even death. And I know that Charles's family in North Carolina has been experiencing a rough time this past week. And I've been texting him, as I know Jerrica has too, and reassuring him of God's love and grace surrounding and enfolding every member of the family so they can raise up from that feeling of despair that is so likely to overcome us. So maybe you're going through an experience right now of some sort. Maybe you're going through pain of some sort. Maybe there's something in your life that is bothering you that you want to rise up above. And it can seem like your life has been turned upside down and all is lost. Just remember that presence and power that you have within you. You can turn to it in any moment. It has never left you or forsaken you. It is right there with you, right there for you at all times. Jesus said at the end, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So this had to happen before the resurrection. We have to commend ourselves to that spirit. We have to leave our frustrations, our negativity, and let that spirit within us rise up. We have to let go. We have to move out of the valley of despair. We have to let God handle it. So I'm going to invite you now to join me in prayer. So just close your eyes. This will be the prayer at the end of my talk, but I want you to join me in this right now. So as you're sitting with your eyes closed and breathing, releasing, relaxing, surrendering to Spirit, the answers to all of your problems is knowing that God is always present. You know that now because you can feel the presence of God. Our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs need to be cleansed of old patterns. We need to have our minds saturated with God, and so we pray. There are many opportunities in daily living in which to deny our belief in sickness and lack, indecisiveness, in harmony, and to affirm our faith in Almighty God's life, substance, guidance, and love. There are many opportunities every day to rise in love. This Easter morning, do you need to make a decision? I affirm for you right now, the light of God fills your mind. You make right decisions in all that concerns you. You know exactly what to do, and you do it. As you sit here in the sanctuary this morning, You are filled with the movement of God. God is moving in your mind and in your body temple. If your body needs healing, quit telling yourself that you're sick, weak, or tired. You boldly decree, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and the strength of its might. You feel a new strength of God coming up inside of you from the wellspring of life. You are well. You are harmonious in every part of your body and mind. Your body and mind respond to the truth and you express radiant health. If there is a lack in your life, you now erase it from your consciousness and your conversation. I affirm for you as you join me in accepting this idea about yourself. My Father provides me with all that I require and much more. Right now, God's substance comes to you from every direction. Your cup runneth over. All your obligations are met with plenty to spare. You draw from the deep wellspring of sufficiency within. Are there times when you feel lonely or unloved? Deliberately erase those feelings by refusing to entertain them. Know this moment that God loves you. God is madly in love with you. You are God's beloved son or daughter. In the silence, I ask you now to accept the idea of love, the love of God on this Easter morning. You dwell in the consciousness of eternal love. You draw to yourself those whom you can bless and those from whom you can receive a blessing. Your personal life is harmonized and you are fulfilled and happy. This morning, with a consciousness of oneness with God, you expect the outworking of God's good in your life. You keep your thoughts, feelings, and words aligned with God. Through the process of denial and affirmation, positive thought patterns gain precedence in your thinking. Your words become alive with spiritual meaning. You claim your oneness with God. You are confident that God hears you and that God answers your prayer. You are confident that every area of your life is going through a resurrection this morning. You are ready to receive your good. From the inner recesses of your being, you have the assurance, I am present with you. I satisfy your longing soul. I am the answer. Accept this now in the silence. I decree that this hour God answers your prayers. I decree divine life, divine substance, divine guidance, and divine love in your life. You have faith in all that God is, and you rest in God's loving care. I give thanks that this is so, and so it is. Amen. Okay, our affirmative prayer for today is, today I remember that there is that within me which can never be hurt or harmed in any way. I allow that Christ consciousness to guide me. Let's read it together. Today I remember that there is that within me which can never be hurt or harmed in any way. I allow that Christ consciousness to guide me. And so it is. Thank you.